Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We've got three amazing speakers who are going to be sharing God's word in this service. Short messages, but are really going to be impactful and powerful and going to help and bless you. We're in our series, Name Above All Names, talking about the names of God. And we're going to welcome each one of them. We've got Laura Hollinger, and I'm going to invite Laura to the stage right now. She's an amazing mum of four kids, could be more soon, who knows. But she's just a phenomenal communicator. You're going to love what she brings. Put your hands together, give her a big cheer as she comes up to bring God's word. God bless.
Thanks, guys. It's great to have you watching here today, and I really believe that I have a word for you, so I really hope that you're going to be blessed. Zoom all, are you there with me? We've got 10 minutes, there they are. I hope you've got your seatbelts on. Thank you, Pastors John and Chantel, for giving me this opportunity. It is an incredible privilege to be here, and I really hope that you're encouraged today. As John said, we're following on with our series about the names of God, and the name that I'm going to share with you about tonight is El Roi, the God who sees. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll crack on. Father God, I want to thank you that you are a God who sees us where we are right now, at home, on the beach, wherever we're watching this message right now, Lord Jesus. I just pray that these words that come out of my mouth will be nothing of me, but Holy Spirit will be words directly into people's hearts, that they will change us, that we will learn more about you, and that we will love you more. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, El Roi, the God who sees. Do you believe that today, where you are right now? Do you believe that God sees you in your struggles with what you're facing today? Maybe you've got dreams in your heart. Do you know and believe that God sees you? Maybe you know and you believe in God Almighty, God all-knowing, all-powerful. But can you really believe that the God over the whole universe sees you right now where you are? It says in Matthew 10:29 that he sees the sparrow and therefore sees you. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 16. We're picking up the story with Abraham and Sarai, which many of you may know, but I'll give you a little bit of background. God has promised Abraham that he is going to be the father of many nations, that he is going to have many, many children, and he will have an heir, a son. But his wife Sarai is barren and childless. And so eventually, after many years of being barren, they begin to lose sight of this promise, of God's promise to them. So as humans, as we often do, they took matters into their own hands. And Sarai had an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. So she decided that as she couldn't have children of her own, maybe Sarai was the one who was going to be the answer to this promise of being the father of many nations. But as you know, when we take matters into our own hands, life often gets messy. So Abraham agreed to this new version of the plan, and before long, Hagar became pregnant. Now the relationships began to break down. Sarai blamed Abraham, even though it wasn't even his idea. She began to mistreat Hagar. She began to be so cruel to her that Hagar, abandoned, feeling alone, feeling that no one cared for her, felt that her only decision, pregnant and with child, was to flee into the desert. Imagine a single mother, alone, questioning if anyone really cared. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you're today at the end of yourself with nowhere to turn. No one understands or seems like they even care. But it's here in this part of the scripture that something really beautiful happens. God found Hagar. And she discovered that she is never alone. So we'll pick it up in verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. And he said, 'Hagar, slave of Sarai, where are you going?' She said, 'I'm running away from my mistress Sarai,' she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, 'Go back to your mistress and submit to her.' The angel added, 'I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count.' And in response, in verse 13, it says, Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That part there where it says, you are the God who sees me, is the name El-Roi. And it's only found in the Bible, in that one part of scripture. So I just want to pull a couple of thoughts out to encourage you today around this name of God, El-Roi, the God who sees me. So my first thought is that you cannot hide from God. I love playing hide and seek with my kids. And if you've ever played hide and seek with kids, you'll know that they're not very good at it. They might be watching today, so we'll keep that one quiet. But I'll be counting 10, 9, 8, and then you go and find them. You go in the room and they're right there. Like there's like the duvet, they're sitting under it. You can hear them giggling, but you have to go along with the pretense. So it's, oh, I can't imagine where they could be. Are they under here? Are they behind that door? But you carry on this for a while. And I sometimes feel that this is how we can see God and imagine God. That somehow, because we can't see him, that we're hidden from him. Or maybe we're just so covered with our own mess, he can't see us. But Psalm 139 is one of my favorite scriptures because it reminds us of his very nature, that he sees us and there's nowhere or nothing that we can hide. It says in verse 7 of Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The Passion Translation in verse 11 says, it's impossible to disappear from you or ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. Like Hagar, our human nature is often to run in testing times, that flight instinct. But the very things that we run to are often the things we run from because we convince ourselves that no one cares, especially God. But the good news is that God never stops seeing you. There's no place that you can go that is too dark or too deep or too much for him. Nowhere that he cannot see you because he is El-Roi, the God who sees you. It's who he is. His eyes saw you before you were even formed. It's impossible to disappear from his gaze. My second thought is that he sees, therefore we can trust him. And I've been to the swimming pool with my kids before, and you might have seen a big sign as you go in. It's quite often red. I don't know if they've got the picture to put up on the screen here. But it's the picture, and it says, life warning, lifeguard off duty. Have you seen that sign? And sometimes you go in, and it says, lifeguard on duty. And I know that when I go in that pool with my kids, I feel much more comfort when I know that that lifeguard is on duty. You know, as a mother, I'm always watching, but to know that there is someone there that I can trust who is all-seeing in that pool gives me comfort. And it's the same with God. Because he sees, we can really trust that he is in control of our lives. He has the full picture. It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth in 2 Chronicles 16:9 to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Life can throw us unexpected curveballs, and sometimes it can seem like we've lost control, but he sees everything that we don't. Just as Hagar discovered, God was saying then, as he's still saying to you today, trust me, I am in this. I am working in this situation in ways that you could never imagine. God wasn't promising her an easy ride, but he was sending her on her way with a promise for her future. And he wants you to stop running today. Recognize that he sees you. You can walk into the future with confidence and a hope that he is in control. He won't let your foot slip. And when your heart is loyal to him and when you turn to God, when we rely on him for every area of our lives, he is ready to show himself strong. So in closing, the most beautiful part of Genesis 16 for me is when the angel addresses Hagar by name. God is all seeing, but he sees you. And Hagar's response is to recognize that God sees me. It's a stunning portrayal of the gospel. And in Luke 15, Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. Doesn't the shepherd leave the 99 sheep and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? God's eyes are over the earth, but they are also on you today. And he is calling you by name. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God sees you. He has not forgotten you. And the good news of the gospel is because God sees and loves each one of you, he has sent his son Jesus so that you can be found forever. As Christians, we can be safe and secure in the knowledge that God is watching over us. God loved Hagar enough to reach right into her messed up situation and into her brokenness and give her a promise of life and hope for her future. And he loves you just the same. Satan may come and sit on your shoulder and tell you that there is no hope, that you cannot be fixed, that your child will never be well, that your son will never be saved. Whisper that no one cares, that you're all alone, that dream in your heart, just leave it to die. No one could love you after what you've done. Just like Hagar, maybe your only solution is to give up, to give in, to run away and return to those old ways that are comfortable. But that is a lie. In Christ, there is always hope. You're his child, and the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the grave lives in you. And he is saying today, I see you. Nothing is too big for me. So as I close, just remember that you cannot hide from his gaze. We can trust him because he sees what we don't see. And if you take one thing away today, reflect on the beautiful truth that El Roi sees you. Today, he is reminding you that he found you, he loves you, and he has a future for you. Thank you. And now I'm going to introduce an incredible man of God. So put your hands together, Zoom wall, encourage him. It's Caleb Gray Reed.
Hello. Hey, church. Hey, Zoom wall, how are we doing? Well, what an amazing service so far. And I just want to say happy birthday, everyone. John Chattel, happy birthday. And also, thank you so much for allowing me to speak tonight. Before I start, I just want to take this time to pray. So, Lord Jesus, I commit this time to you, Lord Jesus. And I ask that you speak through me. Use me as your vessel, I pray, Lord God. Holy Spirit, guide my words. In your precious name, amen. So, throughout Scripture, God reveals himself to us through names. When we study these names in the Bible, we get a better understanding of who God really is. So, now, who as a child was scared of the dark? I certainly was. Zoomal, who as a child was scared of the dark? Yep, a lot of hands. So, I've got three children. My two boys, definitely scared of the dark. My little girl, she's like her mother, made of tougher things. She's all right. But even as adults, the darkness is a scary place. And I'm not just talking about physical darkness. It could be spiritual darkness, mental darkness, darkness of not knowing what to do next. Now, during this pandemic, I'm sure a lot of you may have had these feelings. Feelings of feeling anxious and nervous and just what is going on. Feeling like everything around you is switching off. The lights are closing and it is all dark. These past few weeks, we've been learning about the different names of God. And the one I'm going to talk to you today is one which I love. Psalm 27, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. What an opening statement to that psalm. So, the word there, the Lord is my light, is the name Jehovah Ori. Jehovah Ori means the Lord is my light. But why is it important for God to be our light? So I want to focus on three aspects of light with you today. Reflection, direction, and protection. But my main focus will be on reflection. So it's very interesting that David starts Psalm 27 with the phrase, the Lord is my light. In the second book of Samuel, in the 21st chapter, we read that Israel is at war with the Philistines again. War breaks out, and David, being the king, is there at the front line. So if you read with me from 2 Samuel, verse 21, 15 to 17. Once again, the Philistines were at war with Israel, and when David and his men were in the thick of the battle, David became weak and exhausted. Now Ishbi-Benob was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him.
But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Then David's men declared, "You are not going out to battle with us again. Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel? Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel?" So some scholars believe David wrote this in reflection to that event. His warriors called him their light. And in essence, that is very true. He was their light. He was that leader at the front line. The same way for us, how John and Chantel are on the front line. They are the light of our church. But I'm sure John and Chantel would agree that actually the light which they have, which David had, is actually a borrowed light. You see, the light wasn't actually theirs. The same way how the sun reflects onto the moon's light is a borrowed light. And when David's men said, "You are the light of Israel," David made sure that they understood that his light wasn't actually his light at all, that the light was of Jehovah Ori. And we are made as children of God to reflect God's light into this broken world right now. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good work and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." And like David and Moses, when we spend time and devote who we are to God, his ori, his light will shine through us into the world around us. In the book of Exodus, we read that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face shone with the glory of God because he was in God's presence. Church, when we get into God's presence, we can't help but shine to the world around us. We are made in the image of the incredible, amazing God. We are made to reflect his glory here on earth. The song we were singing right now is "The Blessing" from number 6. That says, "The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you." We are made to shine in God's glory. That is our purpose in life. So just to close with you both, with all of you, I'm going to give you a testimony of what's happening at the moment with my family. So my Nana is 89 at the moment, a mighty, mighty woman of God. She's currently on palliative care. She is... My mum is over in London at the moment. She's been there since lockdown started, caring and protecting over my Nana. Now, she's in palliative care, so it's now 24/7. But each day, my mum will read a scripture and pray over my Nana daily. She does this. However, this one occasion, she forgot to do it before she went out. She went back into the room while the carer was still there. And she said to the carer, "Would you mind if I just read and pray while you're in the room?" She said, "No, it's fine, you go ahead." So my mum read Psalm 4 to Nana, she prayed over her, and then she left for a day, probably going out shopping, because my mum loves to shop. So later on in the day, one of my aunties wanted to talk to her mum. So she prayed, but because my Nana is in that state she's in right now, my Nana was just asleep. So she sang to her, she sang "Jesus Love Me," and I won't sing it to you now because my voice isn't all that great. My family can sing, but I ain't got that blessing right now. But she sang "Jesus Love Me." She prayed, then entered the call. So the young carer said to my mum, "I'm really sorry, this is a bit unprofessional, but I really want to ask you a question." So my mum could have said, "No, I don't want to, it's unprofessional, I don't want to talk to you about this, that's it." But my mum said, "Of course, what is your problem?" So the young carer said, "This morning on the way to work, I was standing at the underground station and I wanted to jump. I've had enough and I want to jump in front of the train and end it all. But something stopped me. Something made me go to work that day. And then I came here and I heard you read a psalm to your mum and then you prayed and then someone sang Jesus loves me and I don't really know what's going on." Well, at Psalm 4, at the beginning, from verse 1, it says, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." So through the direction of the word of God, the young lady had a word in her time of need. In verse 4, it says, "Let the light of your face shine on us." And I believe in that moment, Jehovah Ori pierced through the darkness in that young lady's life and spoke to her in a time of need. I believe the darkness started to peel away at that moment. So my mum shared the gospel with that young lady. She shared that she is loved, that she is made for a purpose. And as a result, she gave her heart to Jesus and is saved. You see, my mum and my auntie, they reflected Jehovah Ori in that girl's life. And the presence of God did the rest. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I don't know what your problem is right now. I do not know what your situation is. But let me tell you, through his word, we learn who our God is. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is my banner and my victory. He is Jehovah Ra. He is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there when I need him. He is Jehovah Tzedek. He is my righteousness and I am saved. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. And he is Jehovah Ori. He is my light. Whatever you need, he is more than that for you today. I don't know why you're watching, but I've got a word for you. My God can turn your weeping into rejoicing. He can turn your tears into laughter and your darkness into light. John 1:5 says this, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Church, you are not overcome today. Jesus never intended us to live in darkness. And through his word, he has given us a guide, a map, a light to help us navigate through challenging times. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Which means he is with us in the now. He's a lamp to our feet, but he's also a light to our path, which means he's with us now and where we're going. When we actually delve into God's word and lean on his everlasting arms, we actually realize that he's with us now, and if I keep focusing on God, he's with me where my path takes me. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me never walks in darkness, but will have the light of life. Church, it's our call to follow him. He walked in our shoes so we can follow him. When we read and submerge ourselves into the word of God, we allow Jehovah Ori to direct our paths. Let his word direct you. Let his presence protect you so we can see his light reflect on you. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. So, next up, we have, yes, I was a rose between two thorns. So next, we have got a Colombian firecracker, Jimena, just to close us out. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Caleb. What an amazing word, church. And we're so excited because we know that God is with us. He's looking at you right where you are, and he is shining his light over you. So how amazing it is that we are learning so much, not only about the attributes, but who he is, his name. So I just want to pray today that the Lord will continue to reveal his goodness and his personality, who he is for us. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. And I thank you because there is always more. There is always more of you. And I just pray right now that wherever we are, Lord, in our living room, in our kitchen, that you will just come and invade with your presence the room, Lord. I thank you for your peace, for your goodness, for your freedom, for your light. And I declare this today a day of miracles, a day of celebration, a day that we will remember that we are here on our sixth birthday because of your goodness, and we will continue to shine because of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And you know, the word of God says that the Lord said to a mighty warrior, he said to him, I will be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against just one man. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord right there. And he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. You know, it's very interesting to see that the word Shalom, the first reference of this name of God, is in a context of battle and war. Did you know that the peace of the Lord is a mighty weapon of warfare? Did you know that his peace in your heart will make a difference wherever you are right now? Did you know that his presence in you and your trust in his presence will make the earth shake, we'll make the chains break, we will bring healing to your room and the place where you are. You know, the word shalom is to be safe in mind, body, and soul. And I love because it speaks of completeness and fullness. It's not just inner tranquility. It's not just being relaxed and being quiet. It speaks of fullness, completeness, wholeness. And I believe today that the Lord wants to bring this to our nation. It is enough of the crisis. It is enough of the fear. I believe today is the day of shalom. In the name of Jesus. And you know, the word says that Jesus, right before going to the Father, he spoke to his disciples and he said to them, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And I love the distinction that he makes when he's saying about his peace, because he makes a distinction between his peace and the peace that the world offers. And I think it's very important for us right now to know that difference. Because, you know, we live in times where there is a constant offer of peace that has a condition or that tries to put a price for our fullness and our wholeness. You know, perhaps we don't notice, but we consistently receive advertisement and social media and just different sorts of information that are putting a price to our sense of fullness and wholeness. But the reality is that our peace has not a price. It cannot be purchased. Our peace, and this is my point, so if you're taking notes, this is it. Our peace is a person, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And the fullness of his peace is found in relationship with him. Relationship with him. Worshiping him, praying to him, being one with him. That is where our peace is found. And I want to speak to my generation that our peace is not in a post, is not in performing, is not in purchasing things or buying things. Our peace is a person. And your relationship with the Lord is what will really just change and switch the atmosphere. And you know, I open with the story of Gideon and the fact that he built an altar, and he built this altar and he called it Yahweh Shalom. And I love that because it was a context of battle. It was a context of warfare. And it also says that he needed a strategy. So if today you're looking for a strategy to move forward, perhaps there is frustration, perhaps there is disappointment, perhaps you don't know where you are or where things are going, but I want to let you know, why don't we build an altar right now with the name of our Father, our God, that says Shalom, declaring that from that place we will get a strategy. You know, right there the word says that the people of God, they got a strategy in that altar. And when they decided to move forward, they began to advance. And you know, it says that the Lord began to confuse their enemies. And I have another question for you. Did you know that the peace of God will confuse your enemies? Did you know that your trust in the Lord will make the enemies flee? You know, in the story, it says that all the enemies, all of that army, they began to fight against each other using swords. And those that were not killed, says the word, that they began to run away and to flee because they were scared. That's what happens when you and I believe in the promises of God. That's what happens when you and I believe and dwell in the presence of the Almighty God, Jehovah Shalom. And I also want to read to you a promise that I believe is not only a promise, but it's an assignment for us today. And it is found in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I believe this is also an assignment for us, church, because it is calling us to be sons and daughters. It is calling us to walk like sons and daughters of God and to really believe and dwell in his shalom. I believe that is an assignment because we're called to shift the atmosphere. I believe it is an assignment for our new generations to rise up and know the real original design of the peace of God and don't be confused about what the world offers. I believe this time and this season is for us so important to really know and understand and have a greater revelation of the Word of God and what He's trying to say to us tonight, today. And I really believe that, you know, with this series, we're learning so much about the fact that we can go to Him and just believe that His presence is with us. And because He's with us, all our enemies will flee. Because He's with us, all the anxiety has to go. Because He's with us, His light will shine on us. Because He's with us, we know that He is taking care of us, that He is in control. So right there where you are, I just want you to prepare your heart and really remember that the peace of God is everything that you need, and His peace is enough. His peace is enough. His presence is enough. This season and in every season, our peace is one person, Yahweh Shalom, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And I just want to release this word where you are right now. So why don't you close your eyes where you are? And let's just begin to pray, because I believe it's time for us to see our enemies flee. I believe it's time for us to see sickness leave in the room, because we are with Jehovah Shalom, because we are with Jehovah Rapha. So let's just pray together and believe that the Word of God will be alive right where you are, and His presence will make a difference today. Lord, I thank You for Your presence. And today as a church, we celebrate who You are. We celebrate Your name. Your Word says, come to You, those who are tired and weary, and that You will give us peace. Your Word also says that You are our Prince of Peace, that the government, it will rest on Your shoulders. And I just declare Your authority and speak Your authority over every family. And today as a church, we choose to let go of fear, let go of the doubts, let go of the struggle, of the situation, and fix our eyes on You, the fact that You are looking, the fact that Your light is on us. We receive today the revelation of who You are for us to continue to walk as sons and daughters, as peacemakers. And so right now, we believe for healing to take place. We believe for freedom to take place. Freedom for anxiety, freedom from depression, freedom for the fear of tomorrow. I declare that to go in the name of Jesus. And I speak, Lord, that You will rise up a generation and even a spirit right now in our church family to know You as the peace. The peace that changes everything. Thank You, God. Lord, we welcome Your presence. And I also pray for our church that we will be known as peacemakers. Wherever we move forward as a church, Father, I pray that we will know who You are and that we will also make You known as the answer for everything. In Jesus' name. And right now, church, we're going to continue to worship God and declare His peace, declare His presence, His kingdom. So right where you are, I just want you to connect with the Lord and continue to worship. Amen.
Wow. Can we thank Caleb, Laura, and Amena for an incredible word today? What a great word. And I want to take this moment in our service right now, as we do in every one of our Soul Church services, and that is to give you an opportunity to know who this God is that Laura, Caleb, and Amena have beautifully unpacked for us today. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Him today? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Maybe once you had a relationship with God, but life got in the way, as life does. Maybe you ran from Him, but can I tell you today, He has never ran from you. He loves you, He has never left you. He has always been with you. Or maybe you've never known this God before, and you've never heard of him until today. I want to tell you today that he loves you. That he loves you so much that he would send his son, Jesus, down to earth from heaven to die a cruel death on a cross so that you and I can have a relationship with him. You see, Jesus was never about religion. He was always about relationship. And today, I want to give you that opportunity to know him, to have this relationship with him that he so desperately wants with you today. So all I'm going to ask you to do is, after I count to three, I want you to write in the comment section that you receive Jesus today. I made this decision over 15 years ago, and I've never looked back. So number one, he loves you. Two, he wants a relationship with you. And three, come on, right now, in the comment section, write today that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wow, how good is that? Can we celebrate with everyone that has made that decision today? It's so good. I wonder if you would give me the privilege to lead you in this prayer. And all I want you to do is to repeat this prayer after me, wherever you are. Maybe you're in your lounge, in your kitchen, you're in the local park, wherever you are right now, repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I thank you for first loving me. Today, I give my life to you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And today, I am forgiven. I ask you today that you would help me, guide me, lead me in my relationship with you. I love you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Come on, why don't we celebrate them once again? Come on, Zoom wall. Why don't you celebrate every single person that has made that decision today? We are so excited for you. And I just want to take you on a few few next steps as you take your relationship with Jesus further. Number one, I want you to text the number that's on the screen right now and let us know today that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What that does is that enables our pastoral care team to give you a call and to celebrate with you and to pray with you and just to let you know how you can move forward with your relationship with Jesus. And number two, what I want you to do is to get your phone right now and go to your app store and download the Bible app. I love the Bible app because it means that I can read the Bible wherever I go. It's a guidebook to life. And you know, the more you read it, the more you get to know the Jesus that you've committed your life to today. So I really encourage you to download that Bible app. You know, there's so many devotionals and plans in there that can also help you in your journey. So please download that app today. And number three, I want you to stay connected. Stay connected to a local church. Our church runs online services every single week. On a Wednesday, we have chapel at 8 p.m. And we just started a brand new series called Tripwires. And so if you've made that decision today, I really encourage you to get onto chapel and watch that new series, Tripwires, because it will really help you. And on our Sunday services, we have our 10:30 and our 8 p.m. service. Make sure you tune in for that because we have a lot of gold come off this platform every single week. And as soon as these doors open again, we can't wait to shake your hand and to celebrate with you in person, you know, for making this decision today. We love you and we thank you for making that decision today. Come on, why don't we clap for them one more time? Awesome.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.